Now entering the truth zone, deep into the vortex of the information revolution with your host, Michael B.
And this is the Truth Zone, coming to you live from North Dallas, Texas. Now, the last 2 days, we've been talking about how the New World Order elites ultimately are Satanists, and how it is being alleged that by the use of CERN, this nuclear research conglomerate in Europe, maybe trying to use antimatter to open up portals that they believe exist that could tap into other realms and other dimensions, possibly reaching out to where they could contact Lucifer himself, as opposed to what we are led to believe, and just because I'm not an expert, how demons contact you. And, you know, we know the Ouija board game, that you can summon the other side, but of course there are consequences. Well, it seems that CERN, let's say, is a mega Ouija board. And we've talked about what they're trying to do. Today, I want to go into more of the earthly aspect of the New World Order elites and how they've been using the communist Soviet Union Russia tactic of word manipulation, think manipulation, persecution for those that don't agree with their agenda. And the clip, the title is from this independent source called The Wire, and it's the deep state is getting ready to take over, and they focus on, in the beginning, the prosecution of so-called hate speech in Canada. Now, Canada has its own constitution. I've never read it. I don't know what their stance is on speech, but I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say that Canadians' speech and the freedom to express it is not as protected as it is here in America. Certainly we see in Europe, it looks like it's not protected at all, which is very sad to say the least, but we here in America, we do have certain protections. So it seems to me that Canada and Canadians would be more susceptible and more vulnerable to government persecution and prosecution as their government sees fit, and that speech and expression can definitely be more controlled to the way that particular government sees fit. The clip will also talk about corruption in the church, and the church used to mean, you know, the Roman Catholic Church. When it basically had, well, you know, up until the Reformation, it had 100% control of the Christian faith. Now, of course, it's so fragmented, we call it Christendom. So, when we talk about the church. It's the establishment church of Christendom. And of course, and I'm going to go into that later. I don't want to jump around too much, so I'm going to save that. But as we know today, it is in vogue to criticize religion and criticize established dogma and infrastructure. And the new thing now is to, and it's not that new, but in the annals of history, it is new, to create God in your own image, as opposed to the image that the Bible gives us. And that's been manipulated. And now, like I said, it's okay to create God in your image and to fit what you think God approves of or doesn't approve of based on your life decisions. And I understand that that's the hip thing these days. So it's a very good clip. It's a very powerful clip. And we're going to get right into it. Here we go.
Hello, all you beautiful people, and welcome to The Wire. First things first, before we get into tonight's news and things, I need to alert you to some changes. One of the biggest things that we've done is we've taken the Word for Today segments that we do in the morning, each and every single morning. And for those of you that follow those, you're going to need to know this. We moved it to the actual Word for Today channel that we have, so please go subscribe to that. I'll leave a link in the description box. Additionally, you may notice over 1,000 videos on our channel have gone missing. That's because those are duplicates. We actually have those posts all on the website. So make sure you go to ChristianTruther.com if you're looking for those posts or if you're looking for something that we posted from a couple years ago. All right, let's get into tonight's news. First things first, Canada, what's going on? What is going on in Canada? Canadians to face hate crime charges. Prison for anti-transgender speech. This is not a joke. I mean, we've reported on so many things that have taken place in Canada lately. Let me read you the report on it from the Christian Post. Canada's Senate has passed a law against the use of wrong gender pronouns, which critics say would allow authorities to charge those who deny gender theory with hate crimes, leading...
I'm going to stop right there. I will speak out against this transgender theory nonsense. There is no such thing. Jehovah, whose name means I am who I shall prove to be, and I'm going to get into that later on, created two genders, okay? In the entire animal kingdom, especially the mammal category where we humans are a part of, there's male and there's female. There's no hybrid with a hippopotamus or a frog or a unicorn, or any of that nature. There is a very small, part of the human race that does have an anomaly where a human being is born with a vagina and a penis. We call that the hermaphrodite. So, we do have that anomaly, which is very, very, very rare. Outside of the hermaphrodite, two genders, male and female. And by the way, hermaphrodites, to my knowledge, they're all born sterile and cannot reproduce. And the only way that a mammal can reproduce is for male to get together with female, produce offspring. That's the formula that God gave us. There's no gender identity. There's no gender theory. There's no man being born in a woman's body and vice versa. Due to the XYY or the XYY and due to external social engineering and one's environment, can somebody show characteristics of the other gender? Sure. Absolutely. Can severe trauma or choice make someone live an unnatural lifestyle and be abnormal? Sure. But there are two genders, male and female. They create offspring. And I'm not going to get into the whole depopulation stuff today, but part of this gender war and this asexual business is all part of the depopulation and to have us slow down reproduction. And by the way, Muslims and Hispanics are not falling for that. Their reproductive numbers are way up compared to whites and blacks. And that is no coincidence, folks. That is all manipulated. That is all orchestrated. And obviously, much of the world has been conned by it and believes in it. So we'll continue on.
To imprisonment, fines, or anti-bias training. So if... Wow. I mean, just hold on. Moment of what in the world just took place. Let's think about this. If I walked up to a woman and said, Mrs. or Miss, I could be thrown in jail or face a hate crime? I mean, that's pretty much what this is, right? Canada's Senate...
Just real quick. What he just went through, that pause that you hear, that dead air, which, by the way, is terrible. You could get away with that a little bit on video, but on radio like this, it's horrible. But when you run into that with me, you know, I am taking the phrase from Alex Jones, Infowars.com. I am teleprompter free. I don't have a script in front of me either, so I don't have printouts of what I'm going to say. I have notes to lead me throughout the show, but other than that, this is 100%, excuse me, impromptu, unrehearsed, unrecorded, the whole deal. And the stuff that I cover, like with this guy, sometimes, you know, it's so perplexing and so sick that I too run into that pause where, what the hell am I saying? What the hell am I covering? And honestly, sometimes it chokes my throat, seriously, where I run into that pause because it's like, I can't believe the words are coming out of my mouth that's going on in this world. So I get what happened to this guy, having that what the hell is going on here moment. We continue.
It has passed a law against the use of wrong gender pronouns. What? Okay. Bill C-16 passed by a vote of 67-11 this week, more than a year after being introduced, according to Global News, which said it adds protection of gender identity and expression to the Canadian Human Rights Code and includes them within the protections that provided by the hate speech and hate crime provisions of the criminal law. The measure now awaits royal assent from the House of Commons. In Canada, we celebrate inclusion and diversity. And all Canadians should feel safe to be themselves, Justice Minister Jody Wilson-Raybould said in a statement. Trans and gender-diverse persons must be granted equal status in Canadian society, and this bill makes that status explicit in Canadian law. The purpose of this legislation is to ensure that everyone can live according to their gender identity and express their gender as they choose. It will protect people from discrimination, hate propaganda, and hate crimes. The University of Toronto psychology professor Dr. Jordan Peterson, an invitee to the Senate committee, had earlier told the committee that the bill was an unprecedented threat to freedom of expression. You think? I mean, this stuff is common sense. What in the world is going on? This is literal insanity.
Actually, this is not going to protect transgenders and whatever else they're called from hate speech. Actually, this kind of legislation is going to ferment or is it foment even more hate speech? It'll just be more underground. And what'll happen is it's just causing more separation. You see, when people are living their lives in relative privacy and not encroaching on others, you basically do have a live and let live society. Sure, you do have some that no matter what you do, if you're different from that person is just going to be mean to you because that's just who he or she is. But when you create legislation like this where you threaten people, and then what happens is when you have other legislation that rams down your throat, kind of pun intended here, lifestyles that conflict with your faith that you know their lifestyle is aberrant and unnatural, when you force that kind of behavior on the populace and then threaten them with persecution and prosecution for not going along with it, what you're going to create is even more isolationism for these people, for the homosexuals, for these transsexual people, because, hey, they only make up, according to statistics, 2-3% of the entire world population, which means 97-98% of us, Christian or not, is immaterial. We're living a natural, animal kingdom, you know, correct lifestyle. And what's happening is you're going to create even more isolationism for these people. Because personally, as a Christian, and you're going to tell me that if I speak out against this, the so-called alternate normal, and I'm going to be jailed for it or lose my business, well, guess what? I'm going to avoid associating with those people even more because I don't want to slip, say something that might offend someone, and then I'm in hot water. So I'm going to stay away from those people even more, and I'm going to gravitate even more to like-minded people like me that feel the same way, have the same faith, have the same political ideology, have the same morals and ethics, see the world in basically the same way. I'm going to cling to those people more than you know, let's say, broaden my horizon and be more diversified. Why would I put myself into a situation where I'm vulnerable to be attacked by a government or an organization because I said something that wasn't, you know, politically correct? I'm going to stay out of that situation. So really, governments like that, creating legislation like that, is just creating more divide and conquer. Just creating more of it. It's the same thing here in America, you know, with black people. You know, affirmative action, lowering educational standards, giving them more perks, if you will, more entitlements, if you will, more government support. Well, that's only going to create animosity for those people not getting. You're creating a have and have not society. Oh, look, I get gypped out of a scholarship that I've earned with my 4.0 high school average, and it's going to a black person or a Hispanic or an Asian who had a 3.2 GPA because they've got to fill their quota. They've got to have balance. Well, do you expect me to be okay with that? You expect me to not be upset, and then you expect me to not have animosity? And then when you see this happening over and over and over again, how could society not expect the have-nots to get pissed off? See, that's ridiculous. So you're going to have more separatism, you're actually going to have more persecution on these groups, but it's going to be underhanded, you see. It's going to be what you might call a black market hate speech. If it's going to create more hate, actually. See, and that's the blowback. And that's what these governments want. Because they want to lead us to bloodshed in the streets so they can roll in the tanks, declare martial law, shut down lower levels of government to ultimately control everything at the top in Washington, D.C. But then Washington, D.C. is controlled by the UN, the EU, and, well, luckily, Trump, got us out of the TPP. But ultimately, to have us under this one-world corporate government colluded entity running every facet of our lives. That's the ultimate goal with legislation like this. We continue.
Literal insane. There's no other word that sums this up. If you mistakenly or if you actually do call a person out by their biological identity, you can now be what? Thrown in jail? Fined? Charged with hate crimes? In Canada? Wow. This is unprecedented. Same-sex married couple to lead a historic Baptist church. This is in, of course, America. A historic Baptist church in the nation's capital has called a legally married lesbian couple as co-pastors. Just the other day or so, we were talking about how the SBC had changed some words for gender inclusiveness in the Bible. And of course, there are other pastors who are saying, no, that's not actually what happened, but any change to the text is a change to the text. Any gender inclusiveness is a change to the gender inclusive is aligned with the gender identity agenda. This is the problem. As you can see where it leads, look at Canada. Look at other countries around the world who are doing the same thing that Canada is doing. Calvary Baptist Church in Washington announced January 9th the hiring of Sally Surratt and Maria Swearingen as the congregation's new senior ministers. The couple married the weekend after same-sex marriage became legal in South Carolina in November 2014, were ordained to the gospel ministry by First Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina on November 15, 2015. Calvary isn't the first Baptist church to hire an openly gay minister or even to have lesbian co-pastors. But challenging the status quo was nothing new for the congregation started by abolitionists in 1862. In 2014, a congregation ordained what is believed to be the first transgender Baptist minister. Allison Robinson, a George W. Truett Theological Seminary graduate who previously had been ordained as a man. Folks, what is happening to our churches? You take the masculinity out of the Bible, you take God out of the Bible. I don't think people recognize the severity of that. You take the masculinity out of Scripture, you change the whole structure of the household. You destroy the family. You destroy so much by doing this. And the very fact that people are not recognizing this and calling those that are calling it out bigots and, just nut jobs or whatever have you. I mean, it's just spitting proof of the times we live in. This is insanity. This is Sodom and Gomorrah. Except this time, they're changing the actual word of God to fit the bill, to fit society instead of culture.
See, what he's talking about is nothing new. First of all, as I stated at the top of the show, Christendom has been totally fragmented since the Reformation. Excuse me. But the corruption within Christendom, well, that goes back at least 1700 years when at the Council of Nicaea, the Bishop of Rome, the Pope, and Constantine brokered a deal to infuse Mithraism, which was the leading pagan religion in Rome, with the purest form of Christianity. And this is why we celebrate Christmas on December 25th, which is originally the feast to the god Saturn, Saturnalia, which is why we celebrate Easter, which is actually a pagan festival to the goddess Astarte, or Esther, which is, they were Babylonian goddesses. So we've had a hybrid of Christianity and paganism for about 1700 years. So it is no surprise that, to me, that we see this kind of corruption. Okay, a same-sex lesbian couple not only cannot be ordained ministers, they cannot even go to church and openly behave that way. All right, they just can't do it. The Apostle Paul made it clear who is to be in your congregation and who isn't. And I talked about that last night. I went to my first Bible study with my church, and we're reading the book called The Shack, which is also out in movies, and you could get it on demand. Excuse me. And you know, this image, he talks about rewriting the text. There's a new thing going on where we don't call God Father. We don't have that formality, Father. It's now he's my daddy. He's my papa. And see the problem. Well, let me go into the shack a little bit, and I want to talk about this. We ran out of time last night. In the book, the main character has a father who's an alcoholic, beats his mother, beats him up. Ultimately, I don't want to give away the whole thing if you haven't seen it, but basically, the father, the family aren't just churchgoers. His father is an elder within the church. And, you know, that first scene where that was disclosed, I just rolled my eyes. Because it has become also vogue to persecute Christians and call us hypocrites. So, you know, it was no surprise to me. It was a here-we-go-again moment that they weren't just churchgoers. He was an elder. So anti-Christians can say, oh, see, look at that hypocrite. He's an elder, and he beats the crap out of his wife and his child in a drunken rage. You see? Oh, yeah. That's a typical Christian. Oh, yeah. You know, I could see that coming. And I know it's cool. It's cool to persecute religion. Say, oh, you know. And it was even in the movie where Jesus says, oh, you know, religion is difficult. I'm here to make it simple. Well, or something of that nature. But he definitely said, religion is difficult. Well, yeah, it's difficult. Not because God has made it difficult. Not because the Bible has made it difficult. Man has made it difficult. And to be further to the point, corrupt man, corrupt men, corrupt women have made it difficult. And the Catholic Church wonders why their numbers have been going down over 60 years. Well, you know, when things like, pedophilia goes public, when you make the church a haven for homosexuals to hide in, and that's the truth, you're going to have problems. And then, instead of purifying your church, instead of going to stringent biblical practices, I mean, Paul told you what to do to idolaters, fornicators, extortionists, and the like. He told you to get rid of them. He told you not to have them in your congregation, also known as your inner circle. He told you. Instead, the Catholic Church decided to sweep it under the rug. It goes public. They're losing numbers, and then they say, whoa, to get fannies in the seats, let's become more like the world. Let's adopt a worldly attitude. Let's sanction divorce. You know, let's make it okay. Because when I was growing up, you're Catholic, you can't get divorced outside of what the Bible says. Adultery. And also, there's some hint to it that, you know, basically, if you're being physically abused or whatnot, yeah, of course, you got to get out of that situation. To get out of a marriage, the Pope, you had to appeal to the Church of Rome, and the Pope himself had to sign off on an annulment. Other than that, you're in a lifetime commitment. But the Catholic Church decided, nope, to get fannies in the seats, let's become more liberal and let's adopt practices of the world. You know, yeah, it's wrong to divorce, but you can still come to church. Oh, you had an abortion, it's bad, all right, come on in. Oh, you're homosexual, all right. And then, of course, we have these Protestant churches that really go off the beam. And like you see with this Baptist church, having transgender ministers and openly lesbian and homosexual ministers. Well, and what's happening still? The numbers are dwindling anyway. Because, again, there's more of me than there are of you. And if you think that I would sit in a church that is openly accepting aberrant behavior, nope, I'm out of there, folks, period. Because Paul told me so. The Bible tells me so. So, we create this image of, you know, he's my daddy. And the big problem here, folks, and I don't want to take away from the clip yet. The big problem, folks, is that God, Jehovah, the Creator, a very, very long time ago, has been genderized as a man with a white beard and an angry, wrathful man that most people identify with, the way Mac McKenzie, the star of the lead character of the Shack, identified with his father. His father was an alcoholic and abusive. Therefore, Mac did not have a good feeling towards, you know, God the Father. We call God the Father because, and I tried to explain this last night at the Bible study, but I didn't get enough time because, well, you know, yeah, it's true. I mean, I get it. My wife was right, too. You know, it was my first time there, and, you know, the pastor's supposed to lead. I get it. But I tried to touch on the four qualities of God. I'll get into that later. Power, justice, wisdom, and love. And in language, in Latin especially, where the bulk of our English language comes from, you have masculine words and feminine words. It doesn't mean gender. But we've genderized God as this tough, mean father, whereas the Creator, he never had a gender. He's a spirit. He's the ultimate spirit. He doesn't have a penis, and he doesn't have a vagina. You see, that comes from Babylonian paganism, where they had gods and goddesses. They had sexual man gods and sexual women gods, and their festivals were designed around that. And that's what he's touching onto, which sparked it, where, you know, we have the matriarchal times, and folks, that was the paganism. That was the Druid stuff, the Egyptian stuff, and quite frankly, when Mother Gaia, Mother Earth, was being worshipped, that's where you had your sick festivals. Chopping up children to the gods and feeding them to the gods. You had women, and they were. Didn't call it back then, but they were raped at these spring festivals of fertilities. You were allowed to have, and it was even in the Old Testament too, where they went around and you could just grab a woman, bang her, she's your wife, whatever, and you have children. You just take them. It was spring fertility rites. But you see, when God came to Moses, presented himself, then you had the age of the patriarchs. And guess what? Out of chaos, we had order. But you see, they've genderized God. And not only that, those that want to create chaos out of order and go back to this Mother Earth stuff, they've created the gender war. That's what we have on Earth between man and woman. And now we see this manipulation. Just turn on your television. Women are more manly and men are more effeminate. The alpha male and the traditional feminine woman are both under attack. And that is all, folks, to give us this false premise that men and women are evolving and merging into a unisexual being. Well, that's not going to happen naturally. That's only going to happen psychologically. And what does unisexual mean? Well, that means you ain't producing, folks. You're not producing offspring. You're not having sex with the opposite sex to reproduce. And that, my friends, is the original functionality of sexual intercourse. Man and woman meet. They make a lifetime commitment. They have sexual intercourse. They have children. Their children do the same thing. And on and on and on we go. But no. These one world order elitists, they want to cut the population. And you see, they just can't, for now, come to your house and blow your head off. They just can't, like they can in China, march you into a clinic, force you to have an abortion, infanticide, to keep the population down that they do in China, which, by the way, China is facing blowback because they've got a serious female population issue. And you hear rumors, I don't know how strong it is, but they seem to be easing up on their family unit model situation. And Alex Jones talks about how now Russia, coming out of 20 years, something odd years, coming out of communism, they're actually encouraging Russian couples to marry and reproduce because they recognize we're going to be in big trouble. Matter of fact, the industrialized world is going to be in super, super trouble. Countries, just to keep their population even, families have to average 2.1 children. And I'm not going to get into the 0.1. The industrialized world is averaging roughly 1.8. Japan is the worst. There's something like 1.3%. So you think about that for a minute. Those of us that have been keeping track know that the older population is growing more so than the younger population, causing a funnel. Okay? Think of a funnel. And at these 1.8 and 1.3 rates, ladies and gentlemen, We're going to have a serious depopulation issue 20, 30, 35 years from now. Where you're going to see, I won't, I'm 52. I'm either going to be in my 80s and not give a shit, excuse my language, or I'll be dead. But the world is going to, especially in the industrialized world, is going to see a massive, massive depopulation. That's the soft kill. They don't need a nuclear war. They don't need to openly say, we're limiting you to two children or one children, and we're limiting you to like two boys and one girl. You have anything past that, you're going to the abortion clinic. They can't do that here in America yet. So they're doing an end around. Feminizing men, masculating women, the New Agers telling us that we're getting into this new phase of evolution where we're becoming unisexual. Well, if I can't, you know, down the road, if my successors, if they can't F themselves in this unisexual, you know, hermaphroditical thing that I talked about earlier, if they can't F themselves, we're not going to have offspring, folks. But do you notice how the rich, people pushing this crap, they've got 4, 5, 6, 7 kids in their family. Do you notice that? No, I'm not saying that Trump is part of it. I'm just giving an example where, do you notice? Donald Trump is a self-made billionaire. He can afford to have, what does he have, 5 kids? And then you watch, those 5 kids are going to have 3 or 4 each. Meanwhile, you're so broke, you can barely afford having 2 children. But guess who's having 4 to 6 children a family? And guess who's getting the most handouts? Guess who's getting away with coming here illegally? Guess who's coming here through a false refugee program? Take a guess. And take a guess what their reproductive numbers are. Take a guess. Folks, it's way over the 2.1 average to sustain population, ladies and gentlemen. Why do you think all this Antifa stuff and all this and the patriots on the right, why do you think this right and left battle, as far as I see, and you could tell me differently, 80 to 90% of these people doing all this stuff are blacks and whites? You don't see too many Asians on Facebook, do you? You don't see too many Muslims on Facebook defending their faith, do you? You see some Hispanics speaking out, you know, Trump is a racist, the wall, the thing, the doot, the doot. But you look on Facebook and you look on Twitter, 8 to 9 out of 10 users pontificating on Facebook, and yeah, I'm one of them, and on podcasts and whatnot, are whites and blacks. And you start looking at their population numbers, you look, I mean, Alex Jones talks about it all the time when he brings up the top earners by demographics. You know who it is? It's Asians, Chinese, Japanese, Koreans. Then it's Indians from India who are also Asian. That's why I broke it up that way. And then it's the rest of us. Do you think that's an accident, ladies and gentlemen? Nope. So, you have to look at the true agendas. You got to peel that onion. I've peeled the onion and it stinks. So, agenda war has been created because the creator has been genderized into a man instead of looking at his four qualities: power, justice, wisdom, and love. And in philosophy, power and justice is a sign of strength. So they're given masculine words in Latin, in the Germanics, and what have you. And wisdom, what is the word wisdom in Greek? It's Sophia. S-O-F-I-A. What do we name our children? Sophia. We usually spell it S-O-P-H-I-A. Do we name our boys that? Our girls that? Or both? No. We only name our girls Sophia. Because in philosophy, wisdom is a feminine word, a feminine trait, not genderly. We're talking in philosophy. Why do we say, oh, look at that ship. She is so beautiful. Why don't we say he is so beautiful? Because beauty in philosophy is on the feminine side of wording. It's like, and I've used this expression all the time, the word for children is El Niños. So, in the sentence, oh, look at the children, the children are playing nicely. That group of children could be comprised of boys and girls. But in Spanish, it's whatever, El Niños. Because in language and in philosophy, the masculine takes over the feminine. Not in a gender war, folks. Not saying that women are weaker and men are stronger. We've been thrown that to have enmity between men and women. It's all part of the scam. And when the ancients really didn't understand philosophy back then and wording. So it is correct, though, to refer to God as he when you talk about him in the third person. And since he is the creator, it is correct to say he's the father of all. But when you are convinced to personalize him, well, you then have people like Mackenzie in the book and in the movie The Shack not having a close relationship to the creator, because the first thing you do is you start associating every man with the dominant male role model in your life. And if that man is not a loving man, a supportive man, a man that is there for you as a child, your view of men are going to be tainted. And then when you're taught the Old Testament, the God of wrath, the God of, and he was, but that was the times, a God of punishment and smite. Well, you're going to look at your father who was punishing and absent and smite, and you're going to say, well, of course God is that way. All men are that way. All the men in my life were that way. And you're going to cause division. And then, of course, it is very appealing to a certain group of people. Now the new thing is to refer to God as she. We see this in songs, and we see this in movies, and now they're bringing back the pagan Mother Earth Gaia stuff, which I already talked about how barbaric those pagan religions were. because daddy is no good. I mean, you look at these women channels, I'll never forget it. My first wife used to watch, what is it, Women's Entertainment or some deal? And I swear, it was like every other movie, a woman is married to an abusive man, he beats the living crap out of her, she leaves, learns kung fu, comes back a year later, and Jackie Chan's his ass. Every other freaking movie. Gee, you know, after you watch 20 or 30 of those movies, do you think that your mind isn't going to be warped into thinking all men are that way? And then, God forbid, a man does something so insignificant, but it triggers what your brain has been saturated with. Do you think that's possible? All designed to destroy and ruin the classic alpha masculine male, and then women are told, you're a homemaker, you stay at home, you cook dinner every night for your husband, You pour him a drink? What the hell are you? Are you father's knows best? You're living in the 1950s? You know, you give women a bad name. You're making us weak. Shame on you. You ought to make your husband get his own damn drink. You ought to have your own damn career. You have him make his own damn dinner. Tell him to put the apron on and make dinner. Screw him. That's what you're getting, folks. And then you turn on the TV, and every freaking show now is a crime drama espionage show where a woman is an agent, the man is the criminal, and they're beating the shit out of each other. Again, sorry for my language. Pummeling and kicking and throwing a woman through a wall, and she comes back and she takes a gun out, shoots him in the head, and it's just night in and night out. And then you have the sitcoms where the guy is a freaking limp-wristed Mary and, like, women get off, you know. And women are all masculated and shit. Meanwhile, meanwhile, deep down, you women want a strong man, but you don't know what to do with it. You just don't know. You're, oh, crap. Well, here comes the alpha male, and now you're free. Oh! I'm now in a state of conflict. TV, movies, and music tells me I should have a limp-wristed sissy, but I don't really want that. Inherently, I want a strong man. But then I got him. Oh, crap. I don't know what to do. I'm now, I'm out of society. I'm out of place. Oh, my God. What do I do? It's all, ladies and gentlemen, to confuse us and to pit us against each other. The more conflict and division the puppet masters can create, the easier it is for them to step in and fix our problems. Meanwhile, they're not fixing anything. They're creating more of it. Because what the one world order, what Satan the devil wants, is he wants chaos out of order. And that's what we are faced with at the highest level in our world's history, because now they have the technology to do so. In ancient times, you only communicated face to face. You can only reach a limited amount of people in a limited amount of time. Now, you can warp the world with a press of a button. You don't even have to wipe someone out with the sword. You can send a drone now and do it. And then on an inter-country level, you can just wipe out somebody's bank account. You could just, with the IRS, you could just take anybody's everything. Just for being a Christian conservative who donated to Republicans to win. Right? We saw that with, what's her name, Lois Lerner? Isn't that her name? I believe that's her name. Under Obama, right? They targeted conservative Christian Republicans that gave money to Republican conservative candidates. They've got the technology now. That's why this is the most dangerous of times. And I know we've heard that before. Oh, the end of the world is coming in the 70s. Oh, 1984, it's going to be the end of the world. Oh, 2000 and a millennium, going to be the end of the world. But now, in 2017, they've got the technology. They don't have to shoot you or stab you. They can just electronically ruin you. They can warp the world now through a press of a button. And that's why these are the most dangerous times to live in. Because they've got the technology they've never had before. And I'm going to continue with the clip. And then I'm going to finish off with a Bible verse from 1 Timothy, which talks about this corruption stuff in the church that this man is talking about. Yes, it was predicted in the Bible. And I know you can say, well, there's been corruption all the time. Yeah, but come on, folks. I mean, this is, you know, the pedophilia that took place in the Roman Catholic Church. All of that was under the table and under wraps. All of this government collusion stuff, you know, was under wraps. The corruption within the Church of Christendom and the corruption within all of the leading governments of the world has grown so powerful that now it doesn't have to be hidden. It doesn't have to be part of the occult anymore, which means hidden. It's now mainstream. They can do it right in your face because they've converted enough people in the world to believe that all this stuff is the new normal now. And if you don't accept what it looks like most of the world has evolved into, you are an ignorant, bigoted caveman. That's who you are. You're a bigoted, Christian, ignorant hypocrite. And it was so easy to make Mac's father not just a Christian churchgoer. Oh, make him an elder. Throw even a little more salt on it. That, folks, was no accident. No accident. Let me continue with the clip.
Sure. Being against the Bible and being against the Word of God and being against church, the church. The church is being subverted to accept culture. Change with the times, become progressive. That's all a bunch of crap. I don't know about you, but I'm not ready to progress past Jesus Christ. I don't think I'm ever going to be. Thank God for that. And neither should you. Atheist activist groups are taking issue with Alabama Police Department's mix of God with government. Here we go again. A prominent professing atheist group recently sent a letter to officials with a city in Alabama to assert that its police department's mixture of God with government is unlawful. The Wisconsin-based Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF, wrote to the city of Wetumpka on June 7th after learning that its police department hosts a summer community program at its facility that includes daily devotionals and offers a monthly dinner with area churches known as the People Extending Christian Kindness. The dinner is mentioned on the department's Facebook page, which includes texts thanking God or citing scripture. Some officers also host Bible studies with children on the street. So what? The officers are going to lose their jobs now because they're supporters of the Bible? Or because they have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Or because they host dinners to help people through Scripture? This FFRF, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, is a satanic organization. We've exposed them several times over. They keep going after the police as well. There was just another one. There was a plaque that had a prayer on it. I can't exactly remember the city and state. But they were going after the police department to remove the plaque with the prayer. People don't recognize the protection that comes with Scripture and prayers. And of course, when you take that away from, say, school, you get something like same-sex marriage or hate crimes or hate speech for missaying or misstating a person's wannabe gender identity. Insanity steps in, the second Scripture steps out. The police department's proselytizing and the endorsement of this proselytizing through the official Facebook pages of the city and the department violate the establishment clause of the First Amendment by favoring a specific religion over others, the group wrote. But you see, what happens here is, once they remove Christianity, then all of a sudden Islam's allowed to come in. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. That's favoring another religion. Just yesterday, we released a bombshell report on how artificial intelligence, the technocracy that we keep exposing, this technocratic communism, let's put it that way, is coming to life through artificial intelligence, through the engine.
It does make perfect sense to eliminate Christianity, which is the bedrock of the United States of America, and due to time constraints, and I'll call that a separate show title, I'm going to give you more quotes from our founding fathers explaining in their own words the influence that Christianity had in forming this country. And it makes perfect sense to usher in Islam because one of the things that Islam and the one world order have in common is just that. They both want to create a one world order. But here's something the Muslims don't know. And of course, they've been brainwashed to believe that when they kill the infidel, they go to their heaven and they have 72 virgins waiting for them. So they honestly don't care what happens to themselves on earth, because, it's very attractive to martyr yourself and take as many of the filthy scum as they can, because they'll be rewarded. But the truth of the matter is, their father is Satan, and the truth of the matter is, that should, and they won't be, but should the Muslim jihadists be successful and a one-world caliphate is created, or close to, because it'll never be created. It'll never be fulfilled, because the one-world order elitists will then, when they see that the mission has been accomplished and got to where they want to be, whenever that time is, they will then wipe out the Muslims. Because, folks, here's the rub. The ultimate goal here is to wipe out all forms of faith. All forms of faith. The ultimate goal is for the state to run every facet of your life. In essence, making the state your God, your everything. So, all of you that don't want to come on the side of the cross, all of you, Jews, Muslims, atheists, pagans, New Agers, Buddhists, Hindus, Taoists, all of you, whoever you are, all of you have a target on your back. I have it too, obviously. I have it from basically almost all of you. But there's a target on all of your backs. And if the One World Order has their way, they will wipe all of us out through attrition. They'll let the Muslims do their dirty work for them. Because if you think this fight on terror is really a fight on terror, no, it's a fight for terror, okay? Because, look, the more terror created, the more we're afraid, the more we beg the government to save our ass, period. So if the Muslims are successful, if the world, One World Order elites feel that the Muslims have gone far enough so that the elites can dance in the end zone, they then turn the scope onto the Muslims, and they're gone. It's all forms of spirituality, folks. So, stay divided. Stay against the cross. Go ahead. Keep making movies, persecuting Christians, which as far as I'm concerned, that's what the shack was. That was the underlying theme. I saw it. Keep it up. Go ahead. Wipe out Christianity. Go ahead. It's not going to happen, but keep trying. It's only going to be to your demise. Your demise, folks. Because if Christianity is to go down and made a very small under-the-table sect like it was in the first century after Christ's crucifixion, good luck with that. Good luck. Because if you think that you're going to be able to practice your stuff, no, you won't. No, you won't. The ultimate goal is for the state to be your all-encompassing God. Genesis 3:22. They want to become like gods. We continue.
Engineers are trying to build some sort of a nirvana, according to Julian Assange. This is what's going on in Silicon Valley and, of course, other places around the world. This technology is being implemented in our day-to-day lives. You have Apple and, of course, you have Samsung and other tech giants that are implementing this in the mobile phone so people get subverted to it or used to it. It's a convenience right now. But wait until it's not a convenience and instead it controls. You see, there's something I want to show you. Have a look.
I'm going to stop right here. It's almost 10 after the hour. I'm going to stop right here. The clip is on pause. There's 5.5 minutes left. Actually, 5:44 left. I'm going to continue it tomorrow because it's going to segue into the great apostasy that 1 Timothy talks about. And then I'm going to talk about why America is under such attack. And I'm going to finish off with the more quotes of the founding fathers, and then I'm going to totally conclude the show tomorrow with my most comforting verse. I led in Tuesday with my most troubling verse, 1 John 5:19, the world lies in the power of the wicked one, but I'm going to end the week with my most comforting verse. So, my name is Michael B. This is the Truth Zone. I will see you tomorrow, 10 a.m. Central Time. Christians, wear your cross outside your clothing. Wear it loud. Wear it proud. See you tomorrow.